This is an interview with Kenneth King for the Youngstown State University Project on the Black Student Experience. The interview is being conducted at the YSU Archives. Today's date is July 7th, 2023, and my name is Talicia Williams. Hello, Mr. Kenneth.
Hello.
We could start off with, where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I grew up in Youngstown. Born in Ravenna, but I grew up in Youngstown for the most part.
What was your childhood like? What do you remember about where you grew up?
Like a lot of the old neighborhoods you hear some of the older folk discuss, the whole block looked out for you. Neighborhood was predominantly African American and Puerto Rican. A few white families on the street, but yeah, pretty much looked out for each other. Still during the era of the steel mills.
What was it like growing up during the era of the steel mills?
I pretty much remember, everyone on the street was pretty much working class. You began to see some of the transition because my grandfather retired from the steel mill one or two years before it closed, before they began to close down. But you begin to see the transition slowly. Some families moving in who didn't necessarily have the same level of resources that, families on the street had had. But I mean, for the most part, we all looked out for one another, hung out, played with one another.
Are you a first generation college student in your family?
No.
How many other people in your family have been to college?
On my mother's side, my mother went to college. Pop's side, I don't know. I think maybe his father may have gone, but I don't really don't know.
What made you want to go to college when you were younger?
Probably didn't have any other choice.
Mm-hmm.
Mom's at the time was against armed service, or should I say military service. And that was also during the era where rap music was just getting started. I came to school to study telecommunications because that's what one of the well-known rap artists at the time suggested to folks who were interested in rap music study. So here I was. But also I had gone to Ohio State first and I flunked out. So I shoot.
What was your first year of school like? What year did you come to YSU?
85.
What was that first year like as a freshman student here?
Remember much, but it was okay. Met a few people. I think it was that first year. I met a guy from New York, and we got to know one another, got cool. And then we met some other folks from New York, and we just kind of created our own rap group at the time. So, I mean, it was okay. Then later on, I met a woman by the name of Teresa Mitchell, who was organizing the African American Student Union. And so, and through her, I met some other folks that were the dominant fraternities on the yard at that time were Alphas. There were a couple Kappas that I remember. Deltas and AKAs. There were a few Sigmas, but not a lot. There was one Q who attended school that I knew, or that I eventually met, but Qs weren't allowed on the yard at that time.
Do you have any more experiences with like your mentors and more people you met, like can you name more people?
Sarah Brown Clark,
Mm-hmm. I've heard her name a lot, yeah.
Black Studies. She definitely became a mentor. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't have graduated when I did. But that's you know, we can get with that later on down the line. But yeah, Sarah Brown Clark, who was director of Black Studies. Michelle Murphy, who was in Kilcally, I think it was it Multicultural? I forgot what it was called at the time, but Michelle Murphy, she looked out for a lot of the students. So those two, later on, when William Blake came.
Your attention, please. The library will close in 1 hour. No library materials will be checked out after 4:45. The reference room will close at 4:45.
Later on, but I was beginning to leave campus at that time when William Blake came on campus. You know, he looked out.
What was your experience like being and starting a rap group?
It was just something that, it initially started because the dude that I met DJed. And so we just kind of got together at the apartment he was staying at, we just began to rap and we decided from a rap group. But since he DJed, you know, we kind of got in, because I used to help unload and load. He kind of got in tight with some of the fraternities, most notably the Alphas and Deltas, AKA. So we began to DJ a lot of the jams. So that was good. It was, I guess we were kind of popular, kind of known on campus, you know. And also, I think it was also the way we dressed. We dressed a little differently, you know. I mean, if you familiar with how hip hop is dressed, the code that they had, I mean, certain styles, certain flavors. So, yeah, we kind of stood out. The Youngstown's approach was a little different. Although, before us, Johnny O and them from Cleveland used to come down and DJ. And it's actually New York and Cleveland who served as inspirations for us who were into rap music. Because Cleveland wore the same stuff they wore in New York, plus the stuff they wore in Cleveland. So, yeah, I mean, it was okay. We didn't have any problems. We kind of popular, kind of known, kind of stood out.
Besides your rap group, you talk a lot about hanging out with a lot of the fraternities and different groups on campus. Did you ever join one while going to school?
I didn't.
Were you a traditional student or a non-traditional student?
Non-traditional is off campus, or is it traditional? Non-traditional.
It's more about your age, yeah.
Yeah.
If you were kind of out of high school, or did you wait a couple years?
Yeah, I was probably 20 years old, so.
Yeah, you're right in there.
Pretty much traditional, I guess.
Yeah.
Because most people have families and they have full-time jobs outside of school, and that's normally considered non-traditional.
No.
Did you live on campus?
I didn't. My mother lived not too far away. So then eventually, the dude from New York and I, we got a spot together because his stepsister's friends owned a house and they rented out a couple of rooms. Well, they rented out the lower part to us. So.
Where were the meeting spots on campus? For like you and all your folks, all the people who you knew.
Always in Kilcally. There used to be, I haven't been in Kilcally in a minute, but there used to be a place, a room that was right across from the pub, a little section called the TV room. And that's where all of us would gather. Or there was an open space that was next door to the TV room where we would gather. Some folks would play cards. Also the little square that sits in front of the candy counter, if it's still there, that was also a spot that we hung out at. Those were the hanging out spots for the most part, but it was always Kilcally.
I was telling Talisa that there used to be a pub there. That there used to be a pub in Kilcally. Yeah, there's not anymore.
Yeah.
You can get a Dunkin' Donuts or what's next to it.
Yeah, it used to be.
Now it's Dunkin' Donuts and a sushi bar.
The sushi bar, yeah.
We only had pub, candy counter, and there might have been an Arby's back then.
Yeah. Oh, I
think there was an Arby's.
I think so too.
And the pub had good pizza. They were the only place that we knew of that had pizza with wheat crust.
You'll see ads for that in the Jam Bar. The wheat crust pizza. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't know. We just went in there and said, oh, man, they got wheat crust.
Do you remember any of the specific events that you and your rock group used to do around campus for the different fraternities and sororities?
Well, mostly DJ parties, or there were some events that were sponsored, not necessarily by the fraternities, but by other groups where we performed. But also we were kind of linked in. We were mostly community based, because at the time, Ron Daniels was local and had a TV show. And he brought in a lot of local politicians, like when Jesse Jackson was running for president, came through the Youngstown airport. We went out there and performed for Jesse Jackson. He had a TV show. We performed on a TV show. We did a commercial for Don't Do Drugs. So all of our stuff was mostly community. But, I mean, stuff on the campus was mostly DJing. We didn't really perform at the parties or anything like that. We just kind of hung out.
So performing in the Youngstown community, like outside of school, did you build a community, a network outside of school?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few of us, because the outside meeting spots, they used to be across from where the dorm is now, the dorm on, is it Rand? Where's Enterprise?
The Enclave? Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, an Enterprise, yeah.
Down the street from, well, actually right next door to that building, right next door to Enterprise.
Yeah. That used to be. I don't know. On Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. Well, not on Fifth, it's on that. I think that's, is that Woodbine or is that, I think that's Rand.
I think it is, yeah. Yeah.
Rand. Anyway, the building that's right next door, I mean, the little buildings right next door used to be a union hall.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to throw parties there. And so, and then right around the corner is still there is a Covenant Hall, which is a much smaller space, which is right across from, literally right across from the jail. And so those were the meeting spots off campus. And so, yeah, I mean, all the local rappers would gather at some of these spots on the weekends, and we would too. So, yeah, we had a little community. We did some battles, got into some conflicts. You know, we just leave that alone. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
What was the rap atmosphere like at that time?
Oh, it was still early. You know, a lot of Youngstown was, at the time, you know, a lot of Youngstown was influenced largely by, I would have to say, West Coast music, and was largely the music piece, because West Coast concentrates on a lot of funk, Ohio Players, Zap, stuff like that. So, and, you know, at the time, folks was rocking. I never did, but folks were wearing Jerry Curls and things like that. So that was largely West Coast and also Southern, too. You know, so a lot of Youngstown was into that. You know, we were New York all the way. And so we kind of stood out, you know, fashion wise, rap wise, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, it was okay. It was competitive, you know, but. We had a few groups, Recreation, Candy Rain. So there were a few groups. Lady C, yeah.
What was yours, what your rap group called?
We were first called Take Two. Mm. And then, I don't know, there were twins who went to the university, Wes and Press Gillespie. They were actually a part of our group. And when they joined, we became Posse Four. You know, so, yeah, I mean, oh yeah, and then there were some other things we did with some of the people in the fraternity. There was a guy who passed not too long ago. His name was Pete. He owned a store down where it's never open. The pizza spot is, and where Jimmy John's used to be in that little
On Lincoln.
He owned a store in there called Creative Concepts, and he was a student here.
Mm-hmm.
Sold T-shirts, CDs, tapes, whatever. Made T-shirts, you know. And there was a, I worked in that store, and it was another guy. His name is Clarence McElrath. We all call him Grandpa. He's an alpha. So if you talk to any alphas, you ask them about Grandpa. We both worked in that store. And so we use that as a spot whenever celebrities come in, we have them right there. Both of them were from Cleveland, so Pete had a lot of connections. He even opened up a club downtown for a short period.
What was your experience like on campus as a student, like being surrounded by students? Did the other students and professors kind of look at you differently or treat you differently because of what you were doing at the time?
Not really. I remember Dr. Homer Warren used to come through the center and pass out little things that he had written. He would come on to wherever the black folks were gathered, mm-hmm. black students were gathered, and pass out something, just kind of keep it moving. But Sarah Brown Clark and some of the students who, you know, we all pretty much took her classes for the most part. Not too much. I don't even think they were really concerned. I mean, I think that we had, as a student on campus, when we organized, there was a campus election, student government election. And this is when I think the campus began to notice a lot of our presence. Because I can't speak to the time before me. But there was a student government election, and there were no black candidates at the time. So Teresa Mitchell and the Greeks and fraternities at the time, I definitely remember the Alphas and the Kappas, and there were certainly AKs and Deltas were definitely involved, organized all the black students and said, you know, these candidates are going to have to speak to our issues, and whoever speaks to our issues the most, that's who we're going to vote for. So when these candidates ran, the white vote on the campus was split. And so the candidate who spoke to our issues the most were the ones that got our voting. You could see once we decided who to vote for, all the black students were lined up all the way through Kilcolly, down through the stairs, all the way outside. And so that was actually the beginning of what would become the African American Student Union, which we credit, at least many of us do, Teresa Mitchell were organizing. And we was definitely supported by the Greeks, but you know, we began to realize we had to get an organized force on campus to represent our interests. And so the African American Student Union was that, because there wasn't any black student unions outside of the black Greeks that were representing our interests. So
what do you do now? What is your current career?
I work in the Youngstown Municipal Clerk of Court office downtown.
Do you feel like YSU provided all the materials you need to be successful?
No.
You did? Why you feel that way?
No. It wasn't, at least for me, and I can only speak about me, but you know, a lot of us became what we call long-term students. I didn't graduate till 92, you know, and I flunked out of YSU twice. But a lot of it was I just didn't understand what the heck was going on, you know. And we didn't have a lot of black faculty. Sarah Brown Clark was definitely supportive. And so, you know, the campus wasn't, you know, number one. I mean, there was very few, like I said, in the student center, you know, really didn't have black representation outside of the organized student. Michelle Murphy had moved on. I think Blake had come on campus. He was one of the few who was supportive. I mean, for a short time, there was a guy by the name of Mohan Subramaniam, an Indian guy who was supportive. He was in student government, but he was supportive of you know, some of our interests. But you know, this, you know, the campus just wasn't open necessarily. Matter of fact, when we painted the rock, when the Pan-African student, I think this is how you can really tell, when the Pan-African student, because we had changed from African-American student to Pan-African Student Union because of when the ideological change. it was a geographic thing because we began to get students from Africa and from the Caribbean who joined us. Mm-hmm. So we had to change the name in order to reflect that. So it wasn't an ideological thing. But when we, Pan-African Student Union painted that rock right outside of Kill College, red, black, and green, you could feel the tension. It was thick on campus because we had to guard that rock. We had to have a guard in front of that rock to make sure it didn't get repainted over. So we had to have a guard out there for, because we were allowed to keep it for a week. We had to have somebody sit out there every night to watch it, you know, because the tension was thick. And, you know, we were making waves in student government for a while. The African-American Student Union got the largest budget of any student organization on campus because we did the most with it. We put on the most programs. And we put on the most substantial programs, too. When South High School closed, we invited South High students to come up to YSU, and we did a talk show in Kilcally to let the South High students speak their piece about their high school closing. Mm-hmm. When Rodney King got beat, we did a protest on campus. You know, Mike Powers, and, who was an alpha, and Clarence McElrath and other alphas, and people from the community, the Nation of Islam, Ron Daniels, and others, Pastor Lonnie A. Simon, they all came down to YSU to participate. We did a march around campus. I mean, it was kind of thick. We were on the cutting edge on doing things on campus. And, you know, the African marketplace that you see in February, that was started by us. We started it in May because Malcolm X was born in May, May 19th. So we did a whole week called the Malcolm X Week. And it was during that week that we started the African American, well, we started the marketplace, and we had it outside. Right now, I mean, you know, outside has changed so much, but in the area between Kilcally and Beagley, that's where we had the African American, that's where we had the African marketplace. And Sarah Brown Clark came down and said, I like this, maybe I'll do it in February. And that's exactly what she did. And she just expanded it because she had the resources. But we also did a massive libation ceremony on the yard. You know, the yard is right in the center of YSU. And we invited Native Americans to participate, and they came down. It was members of the American Indian movement came down and joined us. And, you know, if you go through some of the jam bars, you actually see some of that. And then, you know, when violence at the parties became an issue, me, Pete, who owned the store, Grandpa, or Clarence McElrath, and some of the other guys, we formed, I can't remember the name of the organization, but it was an interview in a jam bar that we talked about it. We formed an organization where we refused to allow, you know, we were committed to breaking up fights at these parties so that, you know, people can enjoy themselves. And that's exactly what we did, broke up a few fights. We wouldn't allow it. And we also didn't leave it to law enforcement to do it. We took that on ourselves. So, yeah, I mean, we were definitely a potential force on campus. That's the best way I can answer that question in terms of campus life. It's through our organized efforts. Because we definitely made an imprint. And I also did some intern work at WUGS at the time. And WUGS was classified as album-oriented rock. And so I was just going through, I didn't know too much about album-oriented rock at the time, but so I was going through some of the, we had records then, and I said, Bob Marley ain't album-oriented rock. What's Bob Marley doing over here? So, you know, Bob Marley to me was reggae. That ain't album-oriented rock. And so I said, okay. And I'm going through, I found some other stuff that just didn't fit what I thought album-oriented rock was. I said, okay. So I started playing more Bob Marley because that's what I identified. I didn't really identify with album-oriented rock so much, but reggae I did. And so it got to the point, you know, Wugs gave me a warning or whatever. There was some discussions. So I said, okay. I had the support of Mohan from student government and some other students in the center. I went in that day and I brought my own record, which was Public Enemy Fight to Power. And I played that as my, you know, on the air. And it came, you know, at the time, Wugs broadcast all through Kilcawley. And I said my piece and I signed off. And from what I understand, Wugs closed down for like a couple of years.
That was the end of your internship.
No doubt.
Why do you feel like there was so much tension at the time? Do you feel like it was jealousy because you guys were getting more funding for your ADOS?
I think there was just a misunderstanding because, you know, I mean, you had, I don't know, I can't speak for generations before me, but at the time, does in a lot of imaginations, you know, it represents, depending on, you know, what your perspective is, it can represent a whole range of things. And so, yeah, the tension, and, you know, we were very expressive. We didn't hold our opinions. We pretty much demanded. I mean, we went into student government meetings in a force, and we all had presentations, and we all talked about the programs we did. We put all our evidence. You know, wasn't just it was about, you know, and there wasn't anything else outside of Black History Month and Sarah Brown Clark or whatever she was doing in some of the other months. There wasn't any other Black activities on campus, quite frankly, outside of the Greeks parties or whatever the Greeks did. So there wasn't any other, you know, because, you know, the university would do events, but they weren't the kind of events that would really attract at that time Black students. You see, Black students at the time. I think there's a difference in generations too. I think Black students at that time, we were, we were that generation after those who had been on campus who were involved in civil rights. So we had a kind of perspective. And also in the media, you had debates over Afrocentricity. You know, Farrakhan was a huge speaker then, so that had an impact. Public Enemy, X-Clan, those were the rap, Beat Boogie Down Productions, those were the conscious artists. So we had something going on. This is what we were listening to. All of that stuff had an impact in terms of how we were as students, you know. We were kind of different. We weren't, you know, I mean, I think now, you know, I mean, there's issues now, but you also see a few more relations amongst, across races, across even the gender question is more accepted in this generation than it would have been in ours. You know, and not to, you know, there were some gay folks around. As long as they didn't say anything, they was cool. You know, that's just how it was. And so that's why I think that there was some tension. I think that it was just the timing. Like anything, we were impacted by society. The campus was. And I think that also the university leadership. I don't know.
Do you feel like there's a difference in the togetherness and I don't know how to say it. Like, do you think the Black community in the sense of like how we support each other is different now than it was when you went to college?
Yes or no? Yes or no? I think that what the generations now have the advantage of is social media. And so on some things, yeah. Because you remember, a lot of what we did it without social media. You know, I mean, our only connection with computers, we had to go over to Jones Hall in order to use computers. You know,
So you had to go talk to people. If you wanted them to show up someplace, right. You had to go to Kilcally and meet them or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Hand them a flyer.
You know, I mean, you know. So, I mean, I think the advantage the generations now have is social media. And so, yeah, in that sense, you know, the communication that takes place over social media networks, we had to do that in person. And, you know, some of us, I don't know. I mean, we didn't have, and also, you know, generations now, they make money online. We had to get out and work. Mm-hmm. I remember I was working a couple jobs and going to school, particularly after I flunked out once. I think so. Yes and no. Yes and no, I think. But then, though, we were organizing and attempting to build something. I think now it's a little different. I think generations now organize and build, but it's, I don't know if it means the same thing to this generation as what it meant to us. I mean, to us, it was a big deal. You know, I mean, we were prepared to go to the mat with YSU if we had to. You know, that's the kind of generation we had. You know, we were prepared to go to the mat. You know, if they wanted to start conflict over the rock being painted a certain way, we were ready. We had a group of us who would walk up into the office. We know we were that unified. And it was unified across social groups, you know, African American Student Union, Black Greeks. It was unified.
Did you find difficulty finding a job after college, like finding a full-time career?
I didn't, because we knew people. But, you know, I think that, I think it just depends who you are connected with, because if you're part of a fraternity, probably not. You know, because fraternity folks, that's what they do. They look out for, they look out for their people. You know, you're Kappa, you're Alpha, Delta, whatever. We'll talk to such and such. She's a member. There might be a job available here, whatever. You know, and then me, I just happen to know people. At that time, the first Black radio station in the city was getting started, 102 Jams. And they only had one person working, and that was Frankie Halfacre. And so my mother knew one of the owners, who was a former judge, Robert Douglas. He was a partial owner. Douglas said, hey, yeah, we only got one employee. So I ended up being, and actually Frank wasn't really the first employee. He was also a part owner. So technically I was the first employee for 102 Jams. So I didn't. And then, you know, once that station went under, Sarah Brown Clark, my former advisee at YSU and mentor, she was the clerk of courts, said, you want to come work for me? So I've been fortunate in that I've known people. But that's not for everybody. I mean, you know, Wesley and Presley Gillespie were in business. And so they got into, they moved from management and fast food to, we're straight into the banking business, and they've been successful ever since, you know. So it just kind of depends. That's a hard question to answer, but it just kind of depends.
Yeah, I have lots of questions. So you said you flunked out twice, mm-hmm. but you kept coming back until you finished.
Because I flunked out of Ohio State, because Ohio State was a little bit beyond my comprehension at the time.
Were you there for just a semester?
A couple.
Okay.
I think YSU was on what now?
We're on semesters now, but we used to be on quarters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So OSU was on semesters then, because OSU was always different than YSU. So I was there for two semesters, mm-hmm. and then I was out. So I just stayed out, and then I think I started in the fall of 85 at YSU. I believe it's like that.
And you found a little bit more support here, is that you could?
No.
No.
I don't know what students do sometimes. We jack around with them. But eventually, I flunked out.
Yeah.
But they give you a probationary period. You can come back.
Mm-hmm.
And when I flunked out again, I had to go to the dean of my school. And part of the agreement of him allowing me to re-enroll was I had to take two of the classes that I had flunked. Because I think that last semester I got all F's. So I had to take two of the classes that I had flunked previously and not get anything lower than a C in any of my other classes, which I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I think after the second flunk at YSU and the third flunk overall, I think I finally got my head together. But I still did not understand everything, you know, because the way that the dean at the time of Bliss Hall, because of telecommunication studies, the way he was talking to me, it just wasn't registering.
Yeah.
And so I went to see Sarah and I said, look, I have no idea what dude is talking about. Put my stuff down. I said, tell me what I need to do to get up out of here. She said, take this, that, and you can be up. And I think that sometimes when you don't have someone that you can relate to in positions, you know, the others may not know how to, you know, because sometimes different people hear things differently. And so Sarah said it in a way that I understood. Take mm-hmm. this class, take that class, take this class, you'll be done.
I heard that. A number of other interview, mm-hmm. other people have been saying the same thing too. It took them a long time. They felt like the rules were changing and nobody would tell you for sure.
Indeed. And like I said, the dean, he was talking a language I didn't understand. Yeah. I would sit there and listen to him. And I was like, come out of here. And like, I still don't know what I need to do to graduate. Mm-hmm. So Sarah put it in a way, she talked in a way that I understood. And I said, okay, I got it. And so when I went to enroll in the class, I took what she told me to do. I did exactly what she told me to do when I graduated. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But you had enough of a desire that you really wanted to finish this degree.
It was time. I was done messing around.
Yeah.
I mean, the two classes that I had to take over, I got A's in them, so not to tell you.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it's not like you didn't understand the material.
It was motivation. It was seriousness. I mean, mm-hmm. some students come in with it.
Yeah.
Some students, and I mean, matter of fact, Wes and Press Gillespie, they were like that. Even though they hung out with us, they were getting their studies, you know? And so they were like that. They were motivated. I just wasn't motivated. I was, you know, it took me a little while to get motivated. But when I got motivated, I got it together and got out. And I think with a lot of students, you know, it's like that.
It seems like you were pretty involved with the Black Student Union and a pretty easy sell for Teresa Mitchell to get you to join the group. Did you do things in high school? Were you conscious of some of these issues? No, it was coming on campus
I mean, it was mostly on campus. Now, I have to admit, I do have parents who were involved in the civil rights movement.
Okay.
Both my mother and father. And my father was also, even though they were separated, where they were divorced, my father was also involved. My father was an academic. He taught at the University of Colorado, ethnic studies. Mm. So, I mean, I have a background. I eventually came back to the background, but it was in college where I came back. Although it began in the rap lyrics. It began in the rap lyrics because somewhere along the way, I met up with some folks in Cleveland who were connected with X-Clan, which was one of the more conscious groups at the time. And I ended up becoming a part of X-Clan. Well, not a part of X-Clan, but their organization called Black Watch. And I was a part of the Cleveland chapter. And so, you know, we did some things in the community there. And, you know, we brought X-Clan actually through Youngstown and did a performance at YSU. Performed at YSU. Folks came in. Matter of fact, at the time.
Your attention, please. The library will close in 30 minutes. No library materials will be checked out after 4:45. The reference room will close at 4:45.
I've heard that plenty of times.
So the X-Clan came here, where, on campus?
They didn't kill Carly, but we took them over into, at the time it was still Westlake, it wasn't Arlington Heights. It was still Westlake. We took them through Westlake, did a walkthrough, did some organizing, handed out flyers. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like X-Clan. Because everybody knew who X-Clan was.
Yeah. So
they all came down to YSU, some students came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, performed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, so that a lot of those things helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did your mother go to school? The college, you said?
She went to Youngstown State.
Okay. Did she graduate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She's a mathematician.
Some hidden figures. Hidden figures.
She's working at GM at the time, so yeah.
Oh, wow.
Engineer.
So what's her maiden name? What would she have graduated under?
Probably King, because she had been divorced by then, so it was King.
And her first name?
Mercedes.
Mercedes King.
But she probably ain't gonna do no interviews, I'm gonna tell you that.
Oh, no, but just yeah. Like to see if she comes up anywhere. So you said you were ready to go to the mat with YSU on issues. And I'm just wondering, you know, so you would, you know, be a part of this larger Black student union in Kilcally. What was like the classroom like? You know, did you have a different feeling there? Were you outspoken in class about things that, you know, you saw differently or felt differently?
Depends on the class.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think a lot of us, well, I mean, I can't speak for others because it was, like I said, we had folks in business and folks in, so I can't speak for any of them. For me, I just took a lot of Black studies because Black studies was my minor.
Okay.
So I was in Sarah's classes a lot. William Carter taught up here. I took some of his classes. Dee Smith, she was leaving the campus when I got up here, but I did get in one of her classes. So I took a lot of those classes. I took a lot of, we had, I can't remember his name. He was, at the time, the only black professor at Bliss.
Oh, Al Bright.
No.
No.
It was after Al Bright.
Oh, he was art anyways, but he was still in Bliss. Yeah, you mean in telecom?
Yeah, in telecom. Yeah.
Okay.
He was the only black professor, and I used to go and sit with him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name offhand. He might still be here, I don't know. But he didn't live locally. I think he lived up around Cleveland. But he was the only black professor in telecom at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go and sit with him. I took classes with him. I kind of put myself in situations. And in the other classes, I also have like lay interests, like geology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like an amateur geologist, if you will, I'm amateur like in the nature and stuff like that. So I took a lot of those classes. So a lot of that stuff, I, you know, wasn't any rebellion because I kind of just went along. I knew a lot of that stuff. I didn't take any Western Civ classes that I can remember. So, yeah, I mean, no. I kind of just put myself in classes where I could learn. Like mm-hmm. Amos Bain, one of the classes I had failed, he taught African history. So I took it again, and I passed that one with an A. So, yeah, I mean, I was looking for information. So I kind of put myself in those situations to fulfill my minor and a major, so no. I didn't really start anything in class necessarily, but it was more or less just with campus politics.
Yeah, and what were some of those issues that you remember?
Black student retention, definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that's still a major issue, or still an issue. I don't know how significant of one it is, but Black student retention. And then just the social atmosphere on the campus, it wasn't geared toward black students. It was geared toward the majority students, which were predominantly white.
Mm-hmm.
And just access to information. I mean, some black students would come on campus and they just didn't, I mean, black faculty, that was definitely an issue. Mm-hmm. More black faculty. Probably have a few more now than what we did, but we didn't have, I think, what's his name, who's in economics, was here when I was here. African professor in economics. I can't think of his name offhand. But other than black studies, Sherry Lovelace Cameron wasn't on campus then. She came on campus as Sarah was leaving. So didn't have blacks in science that I can remember. So it was not a lot of faculty. We had one black dean who was here for a short time, a very short time, black woman. And I think it, name was Clara Jennings, I think. I might be wrong on that one. She was here for a short time, and that was another issue. Where are the black deans at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's still an issue. And
I can't think of one on campus right Clara, now.
Like I said, there may have been two, but they were short. And yeah. I know Clara Jennings was real short.
Mm-hmm.
If that's her name, if that's her name. But she was here, and there was another one, I think. It might have been a man. I can't remember. But anyway, those were the main issues. But just general information. A lot of black students didn't know when they came on campus. You know, we attempted to, as an organized entity, the unions and the frats attempted to, you know, provide those kinds of resources. This is where you can go for this, or you can go for that. Mm-hmm. That just wasn't readily available.
Yeah.
You know, when William Blake came on campus, he attempted to make a dent in that. But like I said, the support just wasn't there. At least we didn't feel. Many of us didn't feel, and that's the reason why we went to the extent that we did. We were willing to go even further if we had to.
Mm-hmm. Those were my questions.
I did. You say that you mostly took like Black African Studies classes, and you stayed within places where you know you there wouldn't be any conflict. What is that it sounds like in school?
Yeah, certainly for classes, yeah.
We interviewed a lady, I can't remember what her last name is, but her first name was Coffee. Her last name is?
Oh my gosh. Mostella? Coffee, yes. Mostella.
Mostella.
Yeah.
She was a psychology major going here, and she mentioned that a lot of the times in classes she would be faced with, especially by the white professors and mm-hmm. white students, that she would be faced with like having to like sort of like represent the entire black community all around the world. They would always ask her, what is your opinion on this situation and that? And she always felt like, well, I don't feel like every black person.
Right.
Did you ever encounter that?
No, I didn't, but I can appreciate that. I can definitely see that happening. And also given there weren't a lot of black students in psychology at the time either. And I don't know when she came here, but I don't ever remember. I took one psychology class and it just kind of blew my mind. It's like, I don't understand nothing he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said that.
You know, yeah. And I had, I can't remember his name, but I had probably one of the more celebrated psychology professors on campus. Can't remember his name.
She remembers resonating with Gabriel Palmer Fernandez. No. That was somebody she liked in the department.
I mean, I know him. I mean, I know of him. I've seen him. But yeah, he was, that I was on campus. My psychology class was way before that.
Oh, yeah. I think he did only come in 95 because we also just interviewed him. He retired, mm-hmm. but he's going to be teaching part time.
Yeah.
So.
I don't even know if he was. Yeah, he came in 95. That's.
I think. Yeah. You were gone.
I was an advisor to African American student union, and I wasn't really on campus like that. But no, this was. I forgot his name. He was a white guy. Wore glasses. I do remember that. But he was a celebrated. He was a celebrated faculty member in psychology. You ran off some names, I'll probably recognize it, but he was celebrated. So I remember when he retired, maybe have something named after him down here, but when he retired, it was kind of like a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you didn't really enjoy his class.
I didn't understand nothing he was talking about.
Yeah.
So I said, maybe psychology ain't it for me, or maybe his approach wasn't my approach. You know, I didn't come to that understanding until later.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that I've learned over the years from knowing a lot of professors is, you know, their approaches matter in mm-hmm. terms of how you teach the material.
Mm-hmm.
And some teach differently than others. And, you know, you don't always grasp the way that they're coming, or it may take you a while to grasp how they're coming at the subject. Like I said, his name started with a K. My geology teacher was good. Have any problem with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just think it just depends. It just depends. But yeah, no, I can appreciate that. That still happens. And you know, the interesting part is a lot of Black folks don't like that. They don't like being put in a position of having to represent the race, because Black folks are just as, Black folks are diverse. You know, we're not a monologue. And I think that, you know, you can probably see that politically nowadays, but yeah, we just, so I think a lot of Black folks resent that. And in, you know, at this point, I say I speak for me, and if you happen to agree with me, then so be it. But I don't speak for Black folk, because I'm me, you know. So I always make that clear. So yeah, I never had that situation, but I will say, I imagine folks kind of embrace that when maybe I may have said something, or maybe when African American Student Union said something, or issued a statement, or took a position on something, they may have thought like, well, this is how the Black folk are thinking, you know. But I've never been conscious of being put in that position, but I can appreciate that. I can definitely appreciate that. Yeah.
So you were an advisor to the Black Student Union even after you left, after you graduated?
The Pan-African Student Union, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long did you do that?
For a few years. You know, they would call me, Sharif Ali, who's in the military now, and a few others, when they wanted to have a discussion about something that was previously done, or when they had particular issues that they wanted to discuss, or, you know, this is what's going to happen. What do you think? How would you approach it? And then they'll have that just a part of the discussion to decide how we're going to go about it. So, yeah, I mean, we would come. I think that there were a couple other faculty advisors, too, but I think Sherry Lovelace may have even advised. I don't know, but I don't want to say that and be wrong, but because I know her. But
your attention, please. The library will close in 15 minutes. Library materials will no longer be checked out. Please return all reserved materials to the circulation desk at this time.
So, but yeah, I did it for a few years, and I don't know what the status is, but whenever they call, I'll come back.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else that you would like to say?
No, I mean, I'll probably just say I probably wouldn't ask for anything different in terms of my own experience, because the experiences that we had, you know, certainly helped me develop some of the perspectives that I have. You know, it was important. And obviously, there are others who have been interested in tapping into some of the things. I mean, I still have some of the materials that we have, you know, sweatshirts that we had. I still got a lot of that stuff.
Now I'm very interested.
Oh, yeah. I still got a lot of that. And I'm sure there are others who have even more. I think Teresa Mitchell would probably be the one, if you can find her. She's in Cleveland somewhere.
I'll find her.
Yeah. Teresa Mitchell, I would definitely recommend interview. I mean, I can put some names in there. I mean, whether they respond or not, but Keith Vukasinovich.
I just emailed him today.
Good. I'll let him know.
Yes.
I'll let him know, because we're actually really good friends.
Oh, good.
But he was the first Q to cross at YSU in a long time.
Actually, I don't know what a Q is.
Omega Psi Phi.
Okay.
Omega Psi Phi. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he was the only one online. And if you're familiar with the reputation of Omega Psi Phi, then you can understand why they were banned from campus for a minute. You know, they have a very rugged reputation. Mm-hmm. And so he was the only one online. And so, yeah, I would definitely recommend him. Mm-hmm. He was a part of the African American Student Union, Pan-African Student Union.
Yeah.
And he actually did, you know, I think he might have probably answered that psychology question pretty well. You know, Clarence McElrath, who's an alpha, he's in Cleveland. Like I say, if you ask any Alpha Phi Alpha on campus, they'll tell you, ask them about Grandpa, they'll tell you who that is. They'll probably reach out to him. But he would be someone.
I don't think there are any more black fraternities on campus.
They're all suspended.
Just, yeah, two.
All of them, even the sororities?
No, there's two sororities.
Yeah, the sororities, there's two left.
The AKAs and the Deltas are left.
Those have always been the two that are on campus. There weren't any others. There weren't any others that I remember.
And we talked to a founder of another one. That was our first one, Sherry Cox. Yeah, Calloway.
Oh, yeah, Sherry Cox. I know
yeah.
Sherry Cox.
Yeah. She brought another sorority down from Akron.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. But back in my day, it was just the AKAs and Deltas. That was it. Alpha Phi, now.
So I don't know if they're still around, but just not official or what?
I met a couple Kappa Alpha Psi students who said they were working. I thought they were on campus, but they said, I know that I was told that Alpha Phi Alpha is looking to reestablish a presence on campus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they were suspended for a long time.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I knew that they were, you know, that they were off campus, but I was told by credible authorities in Alpha themselves that they're looking to reestablish. So if you know some Alphas, then they can probably get in touch with Clarence McElroy or Grandpa. He's known as Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
That's his line name. But Kappa Alpha Psi, you know, I don't know how to contact them, but Dwayne and Malcolm were old line Kappa Alpha Psi members who were MIA. I can't remember their last names, but they're still around, I would imagine. Actually, they come back because we do now a black tailgate. There's a black alumni tailgate that's mostly organized by the black Greeks.
I love it. When does it
happen? It's usually, I know the first one was a couple of years ago when Howard came here to play. That was the first one.
Oh.
And then we had one last year, and then I know COVID jumped in, and we had one last year. Was it the first? It was the same week that Wise did big homecoming week.
Mm.
Yeah, we had it then.
Okay.
But that one was handled by Alpha Phi Alpha. A lot of old line alphas who were on campus at the time. They were organizers. Grandpa's one of the organizers.
Yeah.
I don't know who's doing it this year, but there's going to be one. I mean, we pretty much committed to having it. You know, but
that's great.
That's an opportunity. I mean, that could be another opportunity where you can, you know, because you get a lot of YSU students from all classes coming back. Those who are older than me.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, classes who are older than me. A lot of the Black Greeks are older than me because, you know, Black Greeks are a major force on campus. But there's some African American students like me who were members of the union.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to. But yeah, Keith Vukasinovich should be a good interview.
Yeah.
You can get him. But
I'm hoping. Yeah.
I'll let him know that you sent him an email.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us.
Hope that works for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
All right. I look forward to the process.